God's word this morning, and as Esther has said, we have been looking at a wee series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And today we're at that part where we're going to look at the word kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness. And if you have your Bible with you this morning, could you please turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 17 to verse 32. So Ephesians 4, 17 to 32. And this is what it says. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from life of God because of their ignorance, and that it is them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for all are members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ in God forgave you. Father, we pray as a people that we would become a people who will be kind-hearted because your Holy Spirit is kind. I pray that you would help us to be the men and women of God you want us to be. And as we look at this series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that as we do it, we will be more intentional to be more like you. So, Lord, bless us, we pray this morning as we come around your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the Greek word for kindness, I'm going to try and pronounce this morning, okay, is Christosis. Okay, and basically kindness means goodness in action, sweetness of disposition, gentleness when we're dealing with other. In fact, it ties in a lot of what we talked about last Sunday when we looked at patience, because kindness is all about having patience with those people who tax us. So if I'm getting on your nerves already this morning, you need to show me kindness, okay? Kindness is basically sensitive living. It's sensitive living with the Holy Spirit. It's sensitive living with each other. And it's actually being sensitive with yourself, which I know this morning, even as we come and we talk about this, this for many people may be a difficult concept, to think that we need to be kind to ourselves. But let's start with kindness to the Holy Spirit, because you see, friends, kindness really originates with God, because the Spirit of God is kind. We read in Psalm 31, verse 21, it says this, "For he has showed me marvelous kindness in a strong city." God's heart is to show kindness to us. And we see that among even the early followers of God. We see it in the story of Naomi and Ruth. You see, Naomi stopped with her daughter-in-law, Ruth, and the other one whose name has left me just now, but said to both of these ladies, go back to your mothers and experience the kindness of God. She knew God had dealt with her kindly, and God had dealt even with her dead husband and her sons, and she wanted to encourage these guys to go back to their homes. But we know one dead, and Ruth continued on with her, and then we have that lovely story of Boaz, who shows kindness in the field. They know that these two women are destitute, and he warns her not to go to certain areas where she could maybe be harmed, but tells her to basically work behind the men, and tells them, men, watch this kindness, to drop some stuff so that these two women will not be left destitute. And you know, Boaz is a picture of our redeeming Christ. And friends, today, where would you and I be if it wasn't for the kindness of God, who set his heart upon us, his favor upon us, his affection upon us? Look at Ephesians 2 and 7 says this, that in the ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards you through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the picture of kindness as he came to this world to die and get us out of the issues and the problems that we were in. Titus 3 and 4 tells us, but after that kindness and the love of God, our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Our kind God sent his only begotten Son into this world to deal with our sin, and then by dealing with our sin, he made us right with the Father, and so not to leave us comfortless, he sent the kind Holy Spirit to dwell in us and dwell in our world, to bring the power of God, but the goodness of God into our lives also. We are blessed because the Comforter has come. He is with us to be our guide and our teacher, our dunamis. He's the one who gives us the power that we need to do life. But we also know, as much as he is a powerful, kind Holy Spirit, this scripture that we've read this morning teaches us that he also, and he has been pictured as a dove, that he is as gentle as a dove and can be grieved. Verse 30 of this passage tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And you know, friends, we grieve the Spirit of God when we do not live the way the Spirit of God wants us to live and have the attributes that that Spirit has over us. And he's kind to us, and he wants us to show kindness to other folk around about us too. Do you remember our main passage, which is Galatians 5, which tells us all about these gifts? It tells us that we can do two things. We can either live according to our flesh, or we can live according to the Holy Spirit. And it's when we walk and we talk and we do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do that we live without grieving him. But once we put ourselves first, instead of being sensitive, because this is about sensitivity, and being sensitive about him, the Spirit of God, that's where we can fall at many hurdles, especially in our relationships with each other. Verse 32 says this, be kind to one another. I heard a lovely story about Uzi's pointers. I love you guys so much. But I heard there was somebody this week leaving me bars of chocolate outside some folks' store. And I thought, typical East Pointers. Not lovely? Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Guys, I want to say this to you this morning. I know you get a few knocks in this life. And sometimes we can be battered and we can be beaten down. But in the midst of it all, I remember a lovely pastor years ago, big brother John Legg, telling me, son, never lose your tenderness. Friends, protect your tenderness, because it's off the Holy Spirit of our God. And you know, sometimes when we get hurt or somebody does something on us or says something on us, we can often build up a wall. It's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to keep our hearts tender, that we can be tender like him and minister out of our spirit to the honor and to the glory of God. It says, forgive one another, even as Christ forgave you. And if you have hardened your heart because somebody's knocked you or said something or done, friends, if you're wondering, how do I get out of that ill feeling? Will you think about how the Lord forgave you? Think about how the Lord puts up with you and all you say and all you do, and the Lord forgave you in the help that we too then can learn to forgive others. There's an old story told about an Indian, I didn't realize you could have an Indian crow, but an Indian crow. And it saw a dole of doves, and it wanted to be a part of their community because he saw how they all flocked together and got on well together. And there seemed to be in this wee dole of doves, this lovely unity, and he wanted to be a part of what they had. But he knew he was as black as could be, and they were light grey and white. So he went over and he found some ash, and he rolled about in the ash, and he got his wings all covered and the feathers all covered so that he looked like them, and he came over towards them. But these doves weren't silly. They knew there was something different, and they were spooked a bit, and the doves all flew away. And he thought to himself, why did they go? And then he started to realize that they walked different. Doves walked, but crows hop. So he worked on his new locomotion. I don't even know if that's a word. But anyway, I've just made a new word up for the Webster's Dictionary. So anyway, he worked on that so that he could walk instead of hopping. So the next day, the doves came, and he walked. He didn't hop. And things were good for a wee while. And then they all got hungry. And of course, these doves were pecking away at the seeds. And he saw a bit of roadkill. So he was away to the carcass, and again spooked the birds, and they went. They realized that he ate different from them. So again, the crow thought to himself, I have to basically eat what they're going to eat if I'm going to get in with these guys. So the next day he went and he shared their food. And as they were eating, another crow came along and saw his brother crow. And of course, he started to caw, 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 caw. We normally have birds on our roof here, don't we? Could have had some special effects this morning, but they're not playing ball. But this crow couldn't help himself, and he started to caw, caw, caw back. And of course, then these doves just flew away. And as I read that wee story, I just thought to myself, you know, friends, the Spirit of God wants us to be like him. We're not to work in the flesh, we're to work in the Spirit. And when we don't work in the flesh, or we work in the flesh rather than the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is sensitive, and that we can grieve him by working in our flesh, oftentimes we can alienate the very one who abides in us and lives with us and wants the best for us. But if we want him close, friends, we need to walk differently, feed differently, talk differently, and look more like Jesus so that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's show a sensitivity towards the Spirit of God in our hearts. And as we work to keep our hearts tender to him and tender to each other, we will hear the voice of the Spirit of God in our lives. We also need to be sensitive to others. We need kindness in our relationships with people. And our text that we read this morning in Ephesians 4, often Paul will do this. Rather than explaining what something is, Paul sometimes will say what it's not. And this is what's going on in this passage. Paul is saying, look, we want you to be a kind people, but this is what kindness isn't. And one of the things he talks about is lying to one another. And you know, friends, when we lie, and I think we all have to be honest this morning, we all have lied. Somebody says, is this nice of me? And you're thinking, how do I not offend this person? Oh, it's lovely. Was that meal good? Oh, it was delicious. And inside your stomach's churning. But because we don't want to offend, often it's easier to lie. But that makes light of the intrinsic excellence of truth. And there's other times when we lie as a family of God to one another. And do you know all it does, friends, is causes trouble, friction, and disunity, and sadness, and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It sometimes prohibits the Holy Spirit working in and through us. Falsehoods does not speak of goodness and action, which kindness is all about. My wee granny, as you know, had a lot of wee sayings. My granny used to say this all the time, you can watch a thief, but you can't watch a liar. And the other wee thing she used to say too is this, if you're going to lie, you have to have a good memory. But you know, in church sometimes, friends, over the years in ministry, do you know, even in the household of God, and we have to be open and honest this morning, there are times we've even lied to get out of stuff that we've been asked to do. Or I'm not well, but we didn't really want to do it. Or we couldn't be bothered. And we've said, oh, it's so much on, I couldn't do it. Why were you not out at the meeting? Oh, at a really important meeting, but we were at home watching EastEnders. Do you know, the Bible tells us that we are members of one another. We need to work on that sensitivity to be with each other and not lie to one another because it only alienates us. In verse 26 and 27, it tells us, be angry and do not sin. And sometimes that's what happens with us, isn't it? You know, we get angry about someone or something and we lose the rag. And yet this scripture tells us, look, do not, or, you know, don't let the sun go down in your anger. But if you're married, just stay up all night and argue. That's how we get through. But basically the scripture here is saying, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, but deal with it. Why does the Holy Spirit want us to deal with our anger and that explosive nature that sometimes we have? Because he wants us to stay sensitive to him, that he can be close to our lives. And again, you know, sometimes we always see anger as something explosive, but sometimes there is a almost like a smoldering anger, a quiet anger. And we hold a grievance against somebody. We hold stuff back from them. We don't play ball. We get annoyed with them. And that goes deep into our souls. And the Holy Spirit of God is saying, look, be kind. Rather than react in that way, react the way I want you to react. React in kindness. And the remedy for that anger is acts of kindness. See, the scripture tells us, pray for those that persecute you. Bless those who persecute us. That's what our scripture says. Turn it on its head. Instead of stepping back from people or show your annoyance, bless them and continue to bless them. And you know something, not only helps them, but it actually in turn releases our spirit as well. And it's awful to say, but if we are explosive in anger, a few moments of anger can do so much damage to other people's lives. But yet a few words of kindness can pick even the lowest person up. We need to choose to work with the Holy Spirit to be a kind people. In verse 28, it talks about if you're someone that has stolen in the past, that you should work with your hands to be able to gain, to be able to give. It's all about community and sharing with one another. And I suppose even as a body of believers this morning, we can look at that and think to ourselves, well, that's just about somebody that's stolen in their life. But the reality of it is, we need to work in such a way in our places of employment, not to steal time from our employers or take anything we shouldn't take, or because really at the end of the day, our workmates are watching us and they want to see a kind, generous people, not people who hold back and are stingy in their hearts. Then verse 29 talks about our tongue. And again, we've talked about that, about anger. And sometimes we can lash out at somebody when we're angry with them. And we can say things. And afterwards, when we cool down, we wish we hadn't opened our mouths at all. Friends, our hearts can only change when we come closer to the Spirit of God and ask him to help us to be more like Jesus. When our hearts focus upon him instead of our flesh, the Bible says, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, think you about these. We need to watch the tongue. It can cause so much harm and so much division, but the Lord would rather speak kindness. I remember hearing a story one time about this man who came in a small village, and he came to his minister, and he was full of shame and regret. And he says, "You know, Pastor," he says, "I have probably said an awful lot of untruth about people in this neighborhood. I've slandered them, I've talked behind their back, I've ridiculed them, and I've tore them down in the shops and in everything." He says, "I am riddled with it. I am so sorry. What can I do?" The pastor said to him, "Go and get a bag of goose feathers. And see, tonight, I want you to go and I want you to put a feather at everybody's door that you said something about or you did something on them. And then in the morning, I want you to go back to each door and I want you to put the feathers back in the bag." And the next morning, the man came and knocked at the man's door and said to the pastor, "What am I going to do? All those goose feathers have blown away." And this wise minister was teaching him a lesson. You see, once it's out of there, you can never get it back. Once it's out of there, you can never get it back. And church, rather than saying negativity, rather than speaking untruths, rather than speaking negatively over somebody's life, do what the Holy Spirit will want us to do. Be kind. And if you can't bring yourself to be kind, the scripture also tells us that sometimes we need to keep the tongue between the teeth. Sometimes we need to say nothing. William Hankerson said this, "So put it away. Sometimes we just literally need to keep the tongue between the teeth." But the scripture tells us, be kind to one another. Don't forget that lovely wee word, be tender, forgiving as the Lord has forgiven you. Friends, it is too costly not to be kind, because it puts division between brothers and sisters in the Lord, and the Lord would want us to be kind. Ultimately, friends, we end up offending the Spirit of God. And the scripture tells us in Romans 2 and 4, "Do not despise the riches and the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the kindness of God leads us to repentance." God's kindness towards us led us to repentance. And if you're grieved by somebody this morning and your heart has been hardened towards them, friends, if we take this en route, if we become tender towards them rather than putting up a wall and keeping them at a distance, the Spirit of God, as he is tender and he is kind towards us, that leads us to repentance, maybe our kindness to them will also lead them to repentance also. Friends, kindness is so important that in Proverbs 3, it says this, "Never let loyalty and kindness leave you." That's how important it was that God said in the wisdom of the Proverbs, never let it leave you. But tie kindness round your neck as a reminder. Write the deeds on your heart. You see, it's an Old Testament teaching and a New Testament. We as a people of God need to be a kind people. And finally, friends, I believe that we need to be kind to ourselves for our own well-being. Back in December, that lovely girl, Carol Flack, the presenter on the TV, lost her life to suicide. That was in February this year. But in December of last year, she wrote this on social media. "In a world where you can be anything, be kind. In a world where you can be anything, be kind." And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking, do you know, the Bible is so up to date. And the Bible taught this before anybody hashtagged it. The scripture of our God and the Holy Spirit taught us to be a kind people. And you know, church, of God's household, God's people were firstly kind to one another and then kind to the world we were living. More and more people, I believe, would come into relationship with God. But how can you be kind to yourself. Surely we were not told that you don't love yourself. Although a lot of us, when we are talking behind somebody's back, will go, oh, they love themselves. How many times does that come out of your mouth? Oh, they love themselves. But if we were being truly biblical, friends, we would need to know that you are supposed to love yourself. You see, the scripture tells us back to our very, the teaching that we give in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, in 5:14, it says, love your neighbor. Now, we know that's good teaching. That's good evangelism. Love your neighbor. But the scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. In Ephesians 5:21, it says this, for no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does his church. Christ loves his body, and the Lord wants us to love ourselves in the sense of that we are kind to ourselves, that we look after ourselves, that we nourish ourselves, and not only physically, but we look after ourselves mentally and emotionally, that we take care of ourselves, that we are in a good place, and we take all the goodness of God for our lives. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so pleased to be saved. So pleased to have the salvation of God. So pleased that God looked upon me for whatever reason, and he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory made the heaven shine, so unworthy of such mercy. Yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For whatever reason, he saw you and he saw me and he set his love upon us, and he wants us to realize that love. He wants us to know that we are fearfully and we're wonderfully made, and he wants us to rejoice in his love over us, because he sings songs of love over us, and he wants us to take care of ourselves. Friends, we want to live a life with a forgiven spirit, because that brings us peace. A life of unforgiveness, bitterness, and condemnation, let me tell you, if you choose to live that way, will bring you back into bondage rather than the liberty that Christ Jesus won for us on the cross. And you know, just like Paul spoke about these things here in Ephesians 4, you know, in the Old Testament, we see a picture of how not to do that, loving ourselves. And it's in the story of Miriam, the elder sister of Moses. And just look at the trouble that she brought upon herself because of her lack of kindness. And to think that she was a prophetess, that she wrote a song of worship to God, and that she was full of worship and heart, but yet because she allowed that bitterness against other people to come into her life, she ended up excluding herself from what God was doing. This woman who was a leader in Israel. And I want to take time this morning to read a few verses, or to read this chapter. It's in Numbers chapter 12, and this is the story. This is what goes on. It says this, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he married a Cushite, or an Ethiopian lady. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they said? Hasn't he also spoke through us? And the Lord heard that. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And at once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came in a pillar of cloud, and he stood in the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. And when the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams, but this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. And when the cloud lifted from the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became white as snow. Aaron turned to her and saw that she had been defiled, the defiling skin disease. And he said to Moses, please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. And listen to this kindness of God's humble servant Moses. Please, God, heal her. I know she's spoken against me. I know she's spoken about me. But Lord, will you heal her? Will you touch her? And the Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit on her face, would she not have been disgraced for 70 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days, and after that she will be brought back. So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days. And listen to this wee nugget. And the people did not move till she was brought back. You see, friends, even in church family, when we are unkind to one another, the Spirit of God can't move in us and move us on. Remember last week, if you're going to fight and devour and bite each other, the Spirit of God can't really do the work that he wants to do. Hence this morning, church, can I encourage us, keep that lovely spirit of unity that we have here at East Point. Keep your heart tender about God. You are going to get hurt. You are going to get knocked. We are only human. But be like Moses and pray for their good, not them to be destroyed. But what was going on with this girl? There was a sin of rebellion and wrongful criticism. Aaron and Miriam tore Moses about because of his marriage to this Cushite woman. Dr. Jack Hayford says this. He said, commenting on this, you know, we do not have the right to offer, we do have the right to offer suggestions to spiritual leaders, but to criticize them actually does harm to both parties. Criticism is unkind words, and it opens us to sin. And you know, friends, when we think about this, and Donna prayed about it earlier on, do you know, even when it comes, we're talking about a godly leader here, but even when it comes to our earthly leaders, God told us to pray for them. Not to tear them apart. You hear Labour standing giving off about what they think the government should do. You hear one party here saying to another party what they should have done if they had complete control. In this situation, does anybody in the world really know what to do? They don't need our criticism. That's not what godly people do. Godly people pray for wisdom for them and ask God to show the leaders of our nation wisdom. There is also here the sin of racial prejudice. She was a Cushite. She was from Ethiopia. She was a black lady. And I don't know if Miriam and Aaron were racist. I think there was something deeper, but they used it to get at the leader, the servant of God. So they got at his wife instead, which often happens in church life. But that led them then to insubordinate pride. Verse 12:2 said, they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not also spoken through us? But the Lord heard. Church, what does that teach us this morning? Friends, that teaches us we need to be very careful, not just about speaking against our leaders, but speaking against one another as we are one in the body of Christ. Because you might be saying something about somebody else in church to your friend, and you know your friend's not going to say any more about that because they have got your confidence. But the Holy Spirit of God just heard. And your friend may agree with you, but the Spirit of God is sensitive to the one you're tearing apart. And he's sensitive to your own heart because he doesn't want you to be like that. He wants you to be more like him. He wants you to be better. And these two people, Miriam and Aaron, were used of God, and God used them mightily. But none of us can dictate to God who he will give his message to and who he will choose at that time. It was not their place to step into his shoes. There was a sin of selfishness. Miriam made it clear that she was miffed over being left out of the inner circle. Because Jethro was consulted, why was she not consulted? And again, Dr. Jack Hayford commented and said, let us not think that our peevish complaint are supposedly earthbound only, because heaven is tuned into our wavelength. We get all miffed when we're not asked to do something, or we get miffed if we're asked too much to do something, and we get miffed of this and miffed of that one, and that one never spoke in that one. Friends, heaven's tuned into our wavelength. That's not how the Lord wants us to be, but he wants us to show kindness one to another. There was a sin of foolishness. Miriam's complaint, by which she thought she was restore herself to Moses, instead of actually drawing her closer to Moses, actually got her put out of the camp. I just wonder what was going on in that girl. Now, there's preacher's license this morning. There's nowhere in scripture to prove what I'm about to say, but I want you to think about it this way. Maybe was it with Miriam? Remember, she stood far off in the water when Moses was just a wee baby in his basket floating in the River Nile, and she watched tenderly looking after him. She always kept her eye on him, watching out for him, looking for him, making sure that he was okay, and did him a good turn. Because when Pharaoh's daughter found the wee baby, she then said, well, I go and get one of the nursing mothers to come and look after him. And of course, she was able to get his own mommy. And his mommy was able, rather than losing her boy, was able to nurture her boy and look after her boy for those years of weaning. And you know, maybe Miriam thought to herself, here I did my brother a good turn. I kept my eye on him. Maybe, you know, she'd be looking after me at this stage of my life and bringing me more closer. And I was always there for him. You know, he should be there for me. Or because they were related somehow, she thought that she would get preference over other people. Could that have been a part of where this girl was? And yet, if she could have just been kind to herself in this sense, if she could have seen herself not in the eyes of her brother, the leader, but in the eyes of God, who was overall leader, who had fearfully and wonderfully made her, who had equipped her with so many of these gifts, if she had have lived her life knowing that the Father was pleased with her because he created her for good, that might have been enough for her not to have felt threatened or pushed back or pushed out by her brother Moses. And you know, friends, often it happens in church life. Sometimes, you know, we see our worth as in recognition. Recognition of other people, of man. But the truth is, our recognition needs to be from the one who created us and made us to be his own. And even when things aren't going our way, can you imagine how pleased the Father is when we react in kindness instead of bitterness to somebody? Have you ever watched, those of us that are parents in the room, have you ever watched when your children share something with each other and there's something in you goes, that's my boy. We keep our Reuben going. Reuben was only a babe in arms. Don and I were standing outside a waiting room to go in and see a very elderly woman in the hospital. She loved the boys, and we brought the boys to see her, and we bought the boys a packet of fruit pastel each. Our Jordan never had a problem with Sharon. Right away, he would have given you a sweet. And the Reuben boy was up, he was only a wee, and he was up in my arms. And I said to Reuben, Reuben, are you going to give mommy a sweet? Yes. And he gave his mommy a sweet. And then I said to him, are you going to give me a sweet? Here he was. took the sweet out of his mouth and gave me the one. Now, I don't know if that was a positive or a negative, but the sweet came out of his mouth instead of out of the packet. Friends, God wants us to be kind. Because when we're kind, do you know what we're doing? We're reflecting the Spirit of God, who respects the Son, or reflects the Son of God, who came this world out of kindness to save us from our sin. And he wants us to model that kindness. He wants it to model us, that kindness, to each other, the people of God, and to the world that is watching. The guy's name has left me this morning, but if you ever want to read a good book on evangelism to do with kindness, it's called The Conspiracy of Kindness. And you know, by us choosing to be kind, men and women, boys and girls can get one in the kingdom of God by us choosing to use this fruit in our lives. But church, some of you have been through hard times. You've been offended, you've been hurt, you've been bothered. I'm going to say to you this morning, be kind to yourself by still being kind to others. Because the longer you hold the grudge, the longer you hold back, the longer you let that build up within you, you're going to do more damage to yourself. In fact, doctors will tell you that a lot of our stomach problems come because of that. You need to release some things. You need to start showing kindness to people again. You need to start serving people and loving people and caring for people and showing them the kindness that the Father showed you, because the Lord forgave you. Let's forgive others. And not only will that person benefit, but let me tell you this, you will benefit better by being that man and that woman of God that the Spirit of God so wishes you to be in your life. Let's keep our attitude right so that we can have the Holy Spirit close. Let's look after one another and show that kindness. And friends, be kind to yourself. Give up the rubbish that's keeping you back, that's setting you out of the camp, and come in and do what God wants you to do. Can I pray for you this morning? Let's close our eyes. Father, I thank you for these people, not only the folk that are sitting here this morning, but those that are joining us online. And Lord, I thank you for East Point people. They are good, good people. Lord, I prayed it this morning in the meeting before as we were setting up. Lord, I thank you for our people. They are good, gracious, loving people who love you and love your kingdom principles. But Lord, I pray that we will continue to live intentionally to be like your Holy Spirit and to show kindness one to the other. But Lord, help us to be kind in ourselves, to know that it is you that we want to honor. It is you that we want to hear those words, well done, and we will hear well done if we do it your way. Help us to release the hurts that keep us from holding things against each other. The Father God, we can be free to be the men and the women of God that you always destined us to be. So Lord, bless us today. Lord, as we go out from this place to into our, Lord, fields of ministry, I pray that this will be a week where we can show kindness to those people we will Zoom with, we will talk with. If we're able to go to our workplaces, that we will show kindness to all in our workplaces, that people can see the Holy Spirit within us. Lord, keep us all well and keep us safe. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Bless you, church, for being with us, and bless you, East Pointers, that are online with us this morning. May the Lord bless you.